Hello, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case may be, and welcome to Noir on the Radio. I'm Greg Barth, and, you know, in a perfect world where I could afford the fees associated with using copyrighted music for this show, I would open tonight's episode with Holiday in Cambodia by the Dead Kennedys, but I can't. But with that being said, it's certainly okay for you to imagine that song in your heads right now, because I have one hell of a guest on with me tonight. Joining me is author and publisher Tom Vodder. A little about tonight's guest. Tom Vodder has written nonfiction and fiction books, travel guides, documentary screenplays, and countless feature articles investigating cultural and political trends and oddities in Asia. His stories have appeared in publications such as the Asia Wall Street Journal, The Guardian, The Times, Marie Claire, Penthouse, and The Daily Telegraph. His fiction titles include The Devil's Road to Kathmandu, The Cambodian Book of the Dead, and The Man with the Golden Mind. Tom is co-owner of Crime Wave Press, a Hong Kong-based English-language crime fiction imprint, and he's joining me tonight on the air from Bangkok. Tom Vodder, welcome to Noir on the Radio. It's great to have you on tonight.
Hi, Greg. Good evening and good morning from me. And thanks very, very much for having me on the show. It's really great to be here.
Well, I'm excited to get you on. So Tom, I barely scratched the surface on your bio. You have quite the resume, and I think our listeners, you know, would rather hear it from you. So tell us about you, your experience, what makes you the writer of the powerful crime fiction you have out there for us today.
That's a rather long story, but I'll keep it very short. I've been living in Asia for the last 20 years. I'm actually German. I studied in the UK, and then I came to Asia in my mid-20s, and I've been working here as a correspondent and journalist ever since. But I also write nonfiction books and, as you mentioned, some documentary screenplays and guidebooks. And I'm the author of 3 published novels, and I've got a 4th novel under my belt, which hasn't been published yet. I report from Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, India, Nepal, primarily, occasionally from Malaysia, Indonesia, or other countries in the region.
So you have a couple of novels, The Cambodian Book of the Dead and The Man with the Golden Mind, both featuring Detective Meyer, a former East German journalist. The stories take place in Southern Asia predominantly. You know, these regions, Germany, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, they come with major 20th century historical heaviness with them. So what is it about these settings and mix of nationalities that intrigue you?
Well, the detective is German, I guess, because I'm German, and I wanted to have a character that was kind of roughly my age. He's a little bit older than me, but he's from East Germany, and I was born in the West. So there are some significant differences. The reason why I've set the novels in Southeast Asia is simply because I live here, and I've been writing about the history of the region in another capacity as a nonfiction writer, and I had all this material, and I've traveled extensively in Cambodia and Laos, so I felt this material could be used for something else. And as I was starting to write crime novels again after a hiatus following the Devil's Road to Kathmandu, I felt that this is a great, great region to write historical crime fiction, because so much of the latest 20th century, the most dramatic things happened here, you know, primarily the Vietnam War, of course. And so it's an excellent historical backdrop for my detective stories.
Indeed, yeah, rich indeed. So tell us a little about your character, Detective Meyer.
Well, Detective Meyer started off, as you mentioned, as a journalist in communist Germany. And then when the war came down, he went to the West and became a member of a German West German news agency out of Hamburg. And then he was reporting from the Civil War in 1997, where, and this is the opening scene of the Cambodian Book of the Dead, where his best friend in Cambodia and his fixer gets killed by a roadside bomb planted by the Khmer Rouge, the Cambodian communists. And at this point, correspondent Maya simply burns out and packs up his bags and goes back to Germany, sick of reporting war and damage, looking for something else to do. And we then find him having changed his career from being an international conflict reporter to becoming a private detective. Because, as he says, when you're a private detective, you find out about the truth, but you don't have to write about it. And as a journalist, as we all know, it's very, very difficult to write about painful truths at times, perhaps because your editor doesn't want you to, or because the publication is a different direction, or simply because some opinions are not valued in the mainstream media. And so that was what frustrated Detective Maya, and so he became a private investigator.
Well, congratulations on your latest release, The Man with the Golden Mind, that also involves Detective Meyer. How would you describe that book for our listeners tonight who may not be familiar with it yet?
Well, basically both books, The Cambodian Book of the Dead and The Man with the Golden Mind, are set around historical incidents that in Southeast Asia that have some relation to what we know about Southeast Asia in the West. So the first book, The Cambodian Book of the Dead, was about the Khmer Rouge genocide, and that then played, because my character is German, into a kind of fictional study of what that might have in common with the Holocaust in Germany. The second book, The Man with the Golden Mind, the background to that is actually a film I was working on between 2003 and 2008 called The Most Secret Place on Earth. This is a documentary film directed by Mark Eberle, and it's a feature documentary on the CIA's covert war in Laos. The CIA's covert war in Laos in the 1960s was the biggest CIA campaign at that time, where the American Secret Service created an army of ethnic minority soldiers to combat communists inside Laos, because the Americans didn't want to put, or legally couldn't put, American troops on the ground. So they created this army of, this secret army of 30,000 soldiers that then battled communists. Most of those people eventually got killed. And as we know, the Americans left Southeast Asia and left those people to fend for themselves. So the documentary I co-wrote formed the backdrop to the novel.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's the one of the reasons it's great to have you on is, you know, as a reader, there are parts of your books that I want to hear more about. And this was one of the things I wasn't quite sure how to bring up. But when I was reading the Cambodian Book of the Dead, and I'm not going to spoil anything here, but when you reveal the character, the White Spider, you know, finally, I felt a bit of a sense of, you know, the Mr. Kurtz, Colonel Kurtz from Conrad's Heart of Darkness, the Coppola movie Apocalypse Now. And it was chilling, you know, as a reader to experience that in the Cambodian Book of the Dead. And I wasn't sure if that was intentional or if I kind of brought that with me as a reader. But then as I read, you know, The Man with the Golden Mind, you have the Free State of Mind group, and you talk about someone I had never heard of in my life, you know, as an American, and that's a man named Tony Poe, not a fictional character, but an actual person. Can you tell us a bit about, you know, Tony Poe, who he was, and how he maybe affects you as a writer?
Yeah, Tony Poe was a CIA operative who worked in Laos in the 1960s and early 1970s, and he was one of the CIA agents who was based in Longcheng, which was an airport in the Laotian jungle run by the CIA, which at the time was the busiest airport in the world, even though there was no roads leading in and out of it, out of there. It was deep in the jungle, and there was more than 400 flights coming in and out of there every day. There was refugee transports, USA transports, and Air America transports. And Air America was an private airline that turned out to be owned by the CIA, who transported drugs in and out of there. And Tony Paul was one of the field agents who was based there for many, many years. And he was well known for both his courage and unhinged brutality. And certainly Francis Ford Coppola was aware of Poe. And, you know, there are many, many popular culture background reports on Apocalypse Now that claim that Tony Poe formed part of the template for Colonel Kurtz, i.e. Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. So I guess that theme is in both books. But yeah, Tony Poe was he was a brutal guy. He paid his Hmong ethnic minority soldiers $5 for every set of ears that they brought in from enemy soldiers. Until he realized on a trip up country that in the small Hmong villages, none of the children had any ears because their parents cut them off and sold them to him.
Oh, wow. That's brutal indeed. Yeah, amazing. This that historic backdrop that you write against. It's rich with that type of story. You know, another thing that strikes me as a reader, and I'm thinking of in the Cambodian Book of the Dead, there's a scene where Mayer is diving in shark-infested water. You know, it's a very tense scene. It's quite scary. And it's so vivid. I get the sense that you've maybe done some of this yourself.
Yeah, I've dived extensively with sharks, but in that particular scene, he dives down and finds a dead activist tied to a pole who's being devoured by sharks. And obviously that I've never seen. But I've dived quite a lot with sharks in the Philippines in the mid-90s. So it was, that scene was kind of based on real experiences, yes. As are many of the scenes in the book, because I've been out here for so long and I've worked on hundreds and hundreds of stories, not hundreds, but many, many, many stories in the region. And so I've seen a lot of the history, this dramatic, turbulent history of this part of the world unfurl in front of my eyes. And of course, a lot of that is then picked up and worked into the fiction.
Yeah, I can see that. Another example just of the rich history and intriguing locations in your novels, The Man with the Golden Mind, you describe there are two islands in a lake where people are exiled. There were one for women, former sex workers, and another for male criminals. And I kind of get the sense that that's maybe a real location that you're using. Can you tell us a bit about those islands and why you chose them for a scene in the book?
Yes, those islands are real. They really exist. The lake really exists. And after the American withdrawal from Indochina, when the communists took over in Laos, they made attempts to, you know, to clean up what they saw as capitalist, imperialist influences in society. So they removed all this, like the small-time gangsters and drug dealers and the sex workers that were associated with American aid or soldiers in Laos. They forcibly removed them from the capital, Vientiane, and moved them to this lake onto these two separate islands. And I believe that some of these people, now very old, or their descendants still live there today.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that's just the kind of detail, the kind of thing you just, you know, you can't make this stuff up, right? There's a lot of music references in your books as well, and everything from the Dead Kennedys to Chet Baker, you mentioned the Stooges, Velvet Underground, Dylan, a host of others. And I really like it when writers do that. I think of all the great music that I've come to know from reading Ken Bruin novels, because he does that quite a bit. How important is music to you as a writer? Do you use it for inspiration as you work?
No, Greg, I work in silence, actually. I used to be able to write to music, but not anymore. I find that I get more done when I'm sitting in a quiet room with no distractions. That said, I love rock and roll music, and it's had a very big influence on my writing and my work, and so I try and weave it into the story, sometimes in a very subtle way where there might just be like a fragment of a bit of lyrics weaved into a sentence, and sometimes in a more obvious reference to like the Holidays in Cambodia, the Dead Kennedys, which is one of the songs played in a nightclub scene in Cambodia in the Cambodian Book of the Dead, just before there's a crazy shootout in the bar. And that also is based on a real experience in the early 2000s. I used to go a lot to Phnom Penh, and there used to be this bar there called the Heart of Darkness. And in that bar, it was crazy in the small hours, because people were really dancing to the Dead Kennedys, and there was a lot of unhinged expats there. There was huge bowls of marijuana on the bar where people could just help themselves. And the sex worker girls who worked in that place would be on the dance floor throwing pills into each other's mouths. And so it was a bit like Rome in a way, or like perhaps Cuba just before the revolution. And I'm very glad that I observed these things and that I then went on to use them. So that scene, for example, is pretty much as it happened, except for the shootout, of course. There were quite a few shootouts in that nightclub, but I wasn't present at any of them.
Amazing. Yeah, I got to say, you put me in that bar, in that scene. I felt like I was there, and it was so vividly captured. Just a great scene. Tom, you're not only a writer, but also a publisher of crime fiction with an impressive collection of novels out there. Tell us, what you guys are doing over at Crime Wave Press these days.
Okay, yeah. Crime Wave Press is Asia's only English language crime fiction publisher. We're based out of Hong Kong. We've got, I think, 32 titles out at the moment. We started off, Crime Wave Press is two people. It's me and my friend Hans Kemp, who is a photographer in the daytime, and we started this about 4 years ago. And initially, we wanted to create a small publishing house that would only publish crime fiction from Asia. But within a year, we found that wasn't really possible because we simply didn't find enough good talent here in the region. And much of what's published in the region here by expat writers is girly bar novels and Vietnam War reminiscences, which we didn't want to publish. And whatever is published in original languages, like in Japan, there's a few good crime writers. We never had the funds to have books translated. So after about a year, we branched out and started publishing crime fiction from all over the world. And as I said, now we've got about 32 titles in print, and as primarily as ebooks and in print.
And what new and exciting things do you guys have up and coming from Crime Wave Press that we should watch for?
Well, actually, this year has been our most, 2016 has been our most active year. We published 8 titles last year, which where we really had our hands full. So I think for me, the highlights were we published 2 books by a guy called Roy Harper. They're called Shank and Heist. Now, Roy Harper is one of America's formerly most wanted outlaws. He's doing a long, long life sentence in a prison in Colorado. Before that, he was in a supermax in Mississippi, from which he escaped a couple of times. And his two novels, Shank and Heist, are the story of a prisoner escaping from a supermax. Although that's, I think, where the the reality ends and the fiction starts. But it's been really, really interesting working with Roy, because he's been incarcerated for decades, and he's been campaigning for more justice in Mississippi prisons. And he wrote these two really, really beautiful books. The writing is incredible. The pacing is incredible. It's like a kind of existentialist Mark Twain meets Ed Bunker or Charles Bukowski or something like that. It's really, we were really blown away when we received those two titles. So for me, that was for last year. We also published a really great book by an American writer called Elka Ray, who's based in Vietnam. And you had Elka on your show a few weeks ago, where she talked about this incredible novel she wrote about a mother switching her dead child for one she kidnapped in the streets of Saigon. So those for me were the highlights. We also published, we're publishing a series of books by a historian called Brian Stoddart, whose character, Le Fanu, is a police superintendent in 1920s Madras in India. And last year, we published his third title. He gets brilliant reviews and they're really gripping. It's kind of like Sherlock Holmes in India in the 1920s against a political backdrop of increasing nationalism and protests against the British colonial occupation.
Great stuff. I highly recommend anything from Crime Wave Press, and I'm looking forward to working hard to get Roy Harper on the show. I'm hopeful we can work that out. As a writer, which writers would you name as major inspirations for you?
Wow, Greg, that's a list. just off the top of my head, of sort of old classic writers, Joseph Conrad is my favorite. As far as crime writers are concerned, definitely Raymond Chandler, Dashiell Hammett. But then I really, really, really like the 50s writers like Ross McDonald, Jim Thompson, Chester Himes. All of those guys were sort of a little bit left-leaning, or what you'd call liberal. And Chester Himes was a black American who wrote about race relations. And Jim Thompson was the ultimate expression of noir, as far as I'm concerned, in America. Very, very dark. And Ross McDonald wrote these more psychological books with a detective called Lou Archer, who was immortalized by Paul Newman in a couple of films. So that would be my favorite writers from the 50s and 60s. At the moment, I'm reading everything by Philip Kerr. He's a British writer who's written 8 or 9 novels with a character called Bernie Gunter, who is a Berlin policeman during Nazi Germany. And I think, his view of history is very, very good. And I think he's wonderful. So that's kind of, those are my favorites.
Well, those are some great influences for sure. I have what might be an off-the-wall question for you. Geographically, this might be, maybe I'm in the wrong neighborhood. But I'm a huge fan of a lot of the recent Korean crime movies, and I'm thinking of titles like Chaser, Yellow Sea, No Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, and the like. Nobody makes a noir movie like those guys. They're violent. They're bleak. There's, I don't want to say nihilism, but maybe just a mature lack of naivete. And I see a bit of that in your work as well. What is it about, the edge of Asia that makes it so rich for noir fiction?
Well, I mean, I think, Greg, that we generally live in pretty nihilistic times, here in Southeast Asia, most governments are autocratic, demagogic, dictatorial. Democracy is on the retreat. The gap between the rich and the poor is getting bigger steadily. And so I think there's in writers, there's probably, as a reaction, either a lot of cynicism or despair or nihilism when they reflect on a changing world. And actually, this isn't limited to Asia at all. Here in Asia, of course, we have, for example, at the moment, Mr. Duterte in the Philippines, who openly runs death squads and brags about shooting people in the head. But I think we're moving towards these same areas in Europe and in the US as well, with the rise of the far right in Europe, and with the Front National in France, for example, and also with your president-elect that you'll be able to enjoy from next week onwards.
Yeah, yeah, these are this is the curse of interesting times, you might say, and could be the beginning of dark days for us all. Well, I definitely see that come through, and you know, in that fiction from that part of the world, and it's you know, again, nobody does it quite like those guys. I'm definitely a fan, and it's great to hear your take on where that comes from. So Tom, what new and exciting projects are you working on these days that we can look forward to? I suspect Mayer will return, right?
Yes, I very much hope so. I've just finished a third Detective Mayer novel called The Monsoon Ghost Image. It's with my agent at the moment, and I hope he'll manage to sell it. It's Mayer comes back to Asia once more, and this book is set in Thailand. So that kind of rounds off the trilogy, Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand. And this time he's after the monsoon ghost image, which is a photograph of it's a photograph of an incident of torture after an American rendition of a Muslim suspected terrorist. In 2003, there were some black sites in Thailand that were being used by the CIA to rendition, incarcerate, and torture Muslim suspects, and it was closed down pretty quickly because the authorities here apparently weren't all that discreet about it. But so there's plenty of information about these sites in the public sphere. And once again, I felt that this would make a good historical background, even though it happened recently in 2002-2003, for this novel. So Mayer arrives in Bangkok, and as soon as he puts his hands on this image, he's got American Secret Services, private individuals who want the picture, all running after him, trying to kill him and trying to get at this photograph. And so it's more of a kind of chase thriller than the other two books. It's faster, tighter. There's a little bit less deep background, but it's still a story that's very much set in our contemporary historical context and what we're facing in the world today. So it's a commentary on I guess American foreign policy vis-a-vis Asia and the Middle East in the last 10-15 years.
Well, definitely something to look forward to. Can't wait to see that come out. Where's the best place for people to find you out there on the web and keep up with you?
Well, I've got a website called tomvata.com. You can find me on Facebook or on Twitter, although I don't use Twitter all that much. I've also just started a photo blog called thedevilsroad.com, which is with a French journalist called Laure Sigel, where we post an outrageous picture every day. This is what I feel the pictures are all taken by us, and they're from all around the world, and they are a reflection of the times that we live in and the times we will be enjoying over the next 4 to 8 years. And otherwise, just come and have a look at my website, and all the information on my books, as well as many, many of my articles can be found there.
Great. So Tom, thanks so much for coming on the show and letting me pick your brain. And, you know, thanks also for giving me such a rich taste of Laos and Cambodia as I traveled along with Detective Mayer in your book. It's been great having you on tonight. or this morning.
Yes. Wonderful, Greg, and I really appreciate it. It's been great talking to you. It's been great being on Noir on the radio. And yeah, thanks very much. Great questions, and I really, really enjoyed it. Brilliant.
Well, I feel like we've only scratched the surface, so I hope you'll come back in the future.
I hope so, too. Yeah, once the next book is out, why not?
Absolutely. And for the listeners, you know, I encourage you to check out Tom Vodder's books, The Cambodian Book of the Dead, The Man with the Golden Mind. You can find them all easily on Amazon. Also, check out my latest, Road Carnage, the fourth in the Selena series. It's a nasty road trip through hell, and it's available now from All Due Respect Books. Until next time, this is Greg Barth with Noir on the Radio. Noir on the Radio is a copyrighted podcast solely owned by Authors on the Air Global Network, LLCC.